Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
We are now in the third week of our January series. This is my, as I said a couple weeks ago, this is my 28th time of either hearing it or delivering it. And it's a series on what I consider to be practicing a greater way to think and a greater way to be in the world, because that's what we teach here. But when I use greater, I want you to know what I mean. I don't necessarily mean better, I mean deeper. I mean richer. That's what greater really means, because I never try to build up this teaching at the expense of others. There are science of mind fundamentalists just like every other religion. So, you know, there are people who do that. But for me, I believe that every intelligent spiritual belief system has something to offer someone. I mean, the truth is, when it comes to spiritual beliefs, it's not about certain beliefs being right and others being wrong, some being good, some being bad, some being better, some being worse, because all roads lead to God. Even if we haven't chosen a road, you know, even if we decide to stay home and pray to St. Mattress on a cold Sunday morning, okay, we're still on a path to God. And all religions, and I mean all of them, without exception, all meaningful spiritual practices teach an idea of God that works best for some people. And every spiritual teaching, no matter how it appears to you or me, deserves a measure of respect, because it's providing a level of understanding that perfectly fits with those people who resonate it. And I'm not talking about the fanatics who take perfectly wonderful spiritual practices and turn them into excuses for murder and control and all those other things. We're talking about real practices. So when I say that what we teach here can provide us with a better way of thinking and living, as Scotchy talked about with that reading from Dr. Holmes, I'm simply talking about a teaching that appeals to people like you and me, who are open to spirituality in general. We have a much more open idea, and that is not everybody, as we know. I'm talking about people who like to use the inner wisdom that we all have to expand our own inner awareness of how life works. I'm talking about our obligation, because it really is, to ourselves and to other people, as human and spiritual beings, to always see in our mind's eye a more exciting and interesting and powerful possibility in the way we live, in the way we love, in the way we work, in the way we play, in the way we heal, in the way we see and feel, in all the different ways that we practice the presence of spirit in everything that we do. Now, that's kind of a soapbox thing. With that being said, if we intend to have this deeper inner spiritual perspective, there are a couple of things that we need to do first. And that's what I'm talking about this month. First of all, we need a better idea of what God is, and then we need a better and more positive and powerful idea of who we are and what we are. All right? Those two things, what God is and what we are, those are the two things we have to start with. That's the foundation of what we start with, because that's the only way that we're ever going to be able to look at the world and look at our own individual lives as not just being here on the planet in a physical space, but as a spiritual process, as a spiritual experience that can always get better. Let me say that again. It can always get better, no matter how good or bad it appears to be at the moment. That's the only way that we're going to be able to face the challenges that we have in our own life or as humanity has, instead of hiding from our problems, ignoring them, or trying to blame them on someone else. Because once we understand that this power that created everything out of itself is also one with everything that it created, that's the interplay, okay, meaning us and the planet we're living on and the universe we're living in. Once we get that mentality, it puts an entirely different spin on how we look at the world and the people and the events in it. You see, once we accept the perfectly logical and intelligent idea that this thing that we call God is not some faraway being doing things to us or even doing things for us, but instead start accepting that this power is a supportive, dependable, impersonal, non-judgmental presence that's always creating through us, once we make that quantum shift, then things begin to change. They do. We start to look at all the different aspects of our life. We look at our job. We look at our relationships. We look at our health, our money, all the different aspects of this physical world. And we start to look at these things in ways that we may never have looked at them before. So it changes the way we feel about things that we see out there in the world of effect. Now, it changes it in a lot of ways. For one thing, we stop feeling helpless and victimized by life. That's one of the first good side benefits of this teaching. We also stop pointing our finger at other people or shrugging our shoulders and saying, you know, that's just the way things are. That's another side effect. We start to realize that that where we choose to focus our attention, okay, what we think, what we read, what we talk about at the water cooler or wherever it happens to be, who we listen to, who we refuse to listen to, all of these things that cause certain ideas to fill our mind all the time, for better or worse, those are the things that show up in our life. That's what we start to realize. And when we finally figure this all out, the only logical conclusion that we can come to is that whatever power or energy or intelligence it is that creates and recreates our world on a daily basis must be taking all or most of its direction from us. That's the only logical conclusion. So if we want to improve things in our life, we need to start thinking about what we are thinking about. If you have paper, don't write on the paper. Write this on your arm, okay? We need to start thinking about what we are thinking about. Because if we can't even manage to get a clear image in our own mind, in our own consciousness, of the kind of life that we want to have moving forward, we probably won't recognize it even if we stumble over it in broad daylight, right? Okay, so we got to get it in here before we can hope to see it out there. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I have been laying the groundwork for this kind of thinking. I talked about God as a process, okay, as a constructive power, which is what we mean when we say a loving power or a power for good. It is a constructive power that always makes itself available to everyone in an infinite variety of ways. That was week one. And then last week, I talked about seeing ourselves as essential elements in this ongoing creative process that we call life. What I said last week, if you were here, if you listened online, was that you are the way God works in your life. I am the way God works in my life. And together, not just in this room, everybody everywhere, we are the way that God works in the world. So, we got those two steps. Today, we're going to talk about the next step. And this one, to me, is the most critical for us to understand, because this third step is what we might call the link between heaven and earth. I know that sounds a little dualistic, but I'm not talking about heaven up there and earth down here, okay? By that, I mean this is the way that this invisible spiritual, vibrational energy, this universal consciousness, changes from the invisible to the visible. That's why this is important. This is the section in the introduction to the book, The Science of Mind, that Dr. Holmes calls What It Does, It meaning God. And the title I've given this talk is very, very important to the understanding of the talk. The title is There's Always a Way. And I named it that because there always is. Tuck that in there and keep that throughout this entire talk. There's always a way to make things better than they appear to be. There's always a way for us to be more, to have more, to do more, and most important of all, to love more. Always, always, always. The question is, and Scotchy brought this up, especially on the invisible, mental, emotional level where we've got our consciousness working, where everything starts, how do we find out what that way is? You can know there's a way, but not know how to find the way. So that's what this section talks about. Now, one more thing I want to mention before I get into this. I am going on the assumption that most of us here no longer see God as a chess player moving us around like pawns, okay? If you do think that way, then just be quiet and relax, sweetheart, or you can leave, whatever you want, okay. I'm also assuming that, same way, if you are here this morning, or if you are listening on the podcast, we've got 500 or 600 people a week listening, you are, because you are a spiritually open person, you don't believe that we are puppets with some puppet master pulling the strings, okay? We don't believe that anymore. We believe that there is a power in the universe greater than we are, and we also believe that this power is intelligent enough not to create anything unless there's an intelligent reason for creating it, because that's what intelligent means. So that means not only that we must be here in this existence for a purpose, but that this power must have every intention of supporting us completely in fulfilling that purpose. I mean, doesn't that make perfect sense? It does to me. It did from the beginning. That's what the term co-creation means when we talk about us being co-creators with God of our life experience. In other words, we must be designed, both spiritually and physically, in a way that allows us to work in perfect harmony with God, even if we haven't been doing it very well so far. So there must be a way, there is always a way, for us to know everything we need to know and to do whatever we need to do in order to carry out whatever it is that we and God are here to accomplish as one. There's always a way. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand because for a long time the human race has been obsessed with trying to figure out what our purpose for being here must be. In fact, that's what religion is, the search for that question. And the answers that have received the most attention for many years, and you can tell by the number of religions that have proliferated, the answer always seemed to be focused completely on our duty to please God. I learned that growing up in the Catholic Church. I'm sure many of you did, however you were raised. The hard part, though, for me, has always been trying to figure out how to do that. How do I please God, okay? You know, what do you give the God that has everything, all right? Where do you send it, okay? All that kind of stuff. The reason that assumption that we are here to please God doesn't work in teachings like this one is because we do not believe that our purpose is to make God happy. I'll get that right up front. We don't believe it. I mean, if you think about it, it's a pretty sure bet that God, as the all-intelligent, all-powerful, omnipresent power that we think it is just about as happy as it wants to be. Don't you think? Okay. Or another way of saying it is, our petty little sins probably are not going to ruin God's day. I've got a special bulletin board at home. I've got probably a dozen cartoons on it, so I'm very selective. This goes back over 20 years. And there was a cartoon in the New Yorker a number of years ago, and it was a man, kind of a mousy-looking guy with glasses, standing naked. Of course, it was clouds below the waist, but he's standing in front of this podium, and there was this very kindly-looking gentleman with a beard leaning on the podium who was obviously meant to be God. And in the cartoon, God was sort of chuckling, and he's saying to the man, "No, that's not a sin either. My goodness, you must have worried yourself to death." You know, isn't that a great image? It's a beautiful image, all right? So our collective purpose, if you want to call it that, if you want to think about it intelligently, must be for us to use all that we have been given by this power to live in this beautiful world as good and grateful stewards of our environment. In other words, take care of stuff. And to create a life that allows things like love and freedom and creativity and health and joy and human potential not only to exist and not just for us, but to allow it to thrive. I love that word, thrive, everywhere. Everywhere. That must be why we are here. And our individual purpose, my purpose, your purpose, must be to express all of these things in our own unique way and to be open and receptive and supportive to other people so that everybody else can enjoy life too. That is our purpose. That must be our purpose. Now, in order to do this, we're going to have to stop doing a few things. Some things we've been doing for a very long time, not us, but humanity in general, like judging people and killing people and abusing the planet. Stop doing that stuff and trying to take more than we give, all those things. But stopping these things is exactly what we end up doing when we start looking for spiritual truths instead of looking for earthly power or moral righteousness. When we get away from that, that's what we start to do. We start to heal. Now, some people are surprised that this can be so simple. Something I noticed years ago in this one section of 7 or 8 pages, 1/4 of the introduction, is Dr. Holmes mentions the word simple or simplicity about 14 times. I've got every single one of them circled. All right. The reason this is all pretty easy to understand, okay, is because it makes perfect sense. Because when you start to think this way, something inside of us resonates. Has anybody here ever felt that resonance, that feeling that this is the way it's meant to be? Okay? When we love each other and ourselves, when we honor all people and we stop judging them, when we use our wisdom to express compassion and to alleviate suffering, the world is a better place. I mean, that's not really complicated. People stop killing each other. There's plenty of food. Diseases get healed. We put people on the moon. We invent iPhones. You know, all this stuff starts to happen. We accomplish incredible things. It doesn't take an act of God. It doesn't take magic. It doesn't take miracles. It simply takes the conscious intention of one or more enlightened people who decide it's time for a change. Who decide it's time for a change, but not a change out there. That's not what we're talking about. You can rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic all you want. It's not going to help, okay? In here is where they see the change, where we can start to set things in motion, because the power that lives in here, so to speak, will start working with us to make all things new beginning in that moment. For some strange reason, we have made the mistake of looking for a more complicated answer. The universe works perfectly if we allow it to work. And the good news is, we don't have to just take what we get either. That's a powerful message in this teaching. We can make our individual needs and desires known and see them materialize right before our eyes in perfectly logical and natural ways. We don't need any special favors. We don't need some giant hand to come down and rearrange things in front of us. All we need to do is to make good decisions and pay attention to what shows up. One of my favorite stories is a story about an Irishman. I don't say that well, but you know what I mean. And he was late for an important meeting, and he got there, and he couldn't find a parking place. So he's driving around and around. And finally, it's almost time for the meeting. He's going to lose a lot of money if he doesn't get there. And he looks up to heaven and he says, "Lord, if you would just have pity on me this one time and open a space for me, just one, okay, I'll go to Mass every Sunday for the rest of my life and I'll stop drinking beer." Okay? And the moment he said these words, a car right in front of the meeting place, backup lights came on, car goes out, pulls away. And the Irishman looks up and he says, "Never mind, I found one." Okay? Now, bada boom, bada bing, all right? There's always, if you're Irish, don't write me a letter, please. Just, you know, it's a metaphor, all right? Life doesn't have to be mystical or difficult. There's always a space opening up for us if we pay attention. Dr. Holmes says it this way in this section. He says, "Let us do away with a ponderosity of thought." He means with a heaviness of thought. "And approach this thing simply and quietly." And then he says, "It is the nature of the universe to give us what we are able to take. It cannot give us more." Let me read that again. "It is the nature of the universe to give us what we are able to take. It cannot give us more. It has given all, but we have not yet accepted the greater gift." We have not yet accepted the greater gift. The greater gift that he's talking about is not the gift of material goods or worldly power or a better seat in heaven after we die. That's not what he says. The greater gift we have been given but have failed to accept, according to Dr. Holmes, is the gift of pure potentiality, as Deepak Chopra says it. What we have not accepted is the ability to see what could exist in our mind's eye and then to let it happen through perfectly natural physical and spiritual laws. So we allow it. Spirit provides or becomes the inspiration, and we both come together to make it happen. It isn't that difficult. It really isn't. Now, this isn't about finding a magic formula or finding a silver bullet. We don't need anybody else to tell us when we're doing well and when we're making a mess of things, okay? We don't need the Ten Commandments to tell right from wrong. Thoughts and beliefs and emotions that are positive and loving and creative always result in positive, loving, and creative results. Because those kinds of ideas contain the blueprint of their own healthy growth, okay? As healthy seeds always do, kind of a spiritual DNA, if you want to call it that, all right? In our life, our mind, which is one with the source of all ideas, is what we use to make decisions. And we make as good a decision as we can. That's how we indicate the direction that we are ready to take. Okay? This power supports us in making good decisions, but it never forces us to make good decisions. You get the difference? It supports us in making good decisions, but it never forces us to make good decisions. It presents us with choices, some of them better than others, but in the end, we have to choose for ourselves. And the better the choice, the better the result. Very, very simple. We can only grow by placing bigger and more powerful and more loving ideas into the law. And if our life is working, that's what we're doing. And if our life isn't working, then we aren't. And we probably need to make some changes. Now, I want to spend a few minutes giving you a perfect example, real life example of all of this, one very appropriate for this week. I want to talk for a few minutes about Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Think about this, putting him in the context of all this. This was a man, a spiritual being just like you and me, born into a human world where there is great injustice at the time. And he grows up within that system. He's immersed in that system like a fish growing up in water. Now, at first, as a child, he sees the system as normal, as just the way things are. That's what everyone says. But as he grows older, and as his spiritual awareness starts to expand, he begins to sense that something isn't right. He begins to realize that the world has accepted the idea that it's okay to treat some people different based on their race. He sees this country, his country, he's an American born into America, that it has laws that appear to limit what many talented people of color are able to offer the world. He sees this and he wonders why. Very simple. Why is this? And as he becomes a grown man with this question in his mind, he is presented by the universe with a number of different choices, which, it's important to point out, are the same choices that were presented to millions of people before him who grew up in the same circumstances. Same choices presented. So the question in his mind, as it is with all of us every day, is what choice to make. Now, one choice is he can try not to rock the boat, just let things sort of go on the way they've been going on for years. A lot of people did that. He can complain to everyone but not do anything. That's another choice. He can try to change things through violent confrontation, probably encouraging a violent response. Or he can stay at home and be a successful small-town preacher and try to change a few minds that way. Now, these are all options that probably would have ended up not changing the world at all because they hadn't up till then. But there was another option. He could decide, quite simply, that the prevailing system was unacceptable and insist that things be changed, which is exactly what he did. And in making this decision, he began to speak his truth clearly and passionately, because clarity and passion were his gifts. He was using the gifts he had. So using lessons learned from Mahatma Gandhi in India 20 years earlier, he intentionally avoided any use of violence, even though he faced violence every day. It wasn't always an option, but he never chose it. He never encouraged it. He simply went where he needed to go. He said what he needed to say, and he did what he needed to do. Very, very simple. Because he knew that what was in his consciousness would be reflected in the people around him, which it was. Many people who are still here in Atlanta today. And eventually his message was perceived around the world. Now, this is the important part related to what I'm talking about today. Dr. King's success came about not just because he was trying to overcome injustice. It came about because of the clarity of his consciousness, along with the people who he worked with very closely, and his understanding of the way spirit works in the world. Now, last week, if you were here, or if you heard the talk on the podcast, you heard Doug Moody talking beautifully about Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech in 1963. That speech was a clear and perfect picture of what he knew the world could look like. What he knew it could look like. That was his vision. And not only did he have a vision, he believed that there was a way. Why? Because there's always a way, right? There's always a way. Now, he didn't pray for God to reach down and strike the bad people dead. All right? He prayed for a change of heart and awareness for all people everywhere. And if he was alive today, that would still be his message. He knew that love was stronger than hate, because love is a spiritual principle that heals, while hate is a blind expression of fear and ignorance. All right. In fact, he put it this way in another speech when he said, hatred paralyzes life, love releases it. Hatred confuses life, love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life, love illuminates it. In other words, there was no question in his mind that what he believed was, what he himself believed was in perfect harmony with the power of life, was going to be manifested, all right? And that the civil rights movement, which started in consciousness, could not be stopped. And you could compare this to every other human rights fight going on in the world right now. It could not be stopped by anything in the physical world. But he also realized that God, no matter how righteous Dr. King himself believed his cause to be, could only work change in the world by working through the law. And by the law, I'm not talking about the laws of the nation. They were going to change when consciousness changed. He knew that what he believed had to first be in harmony with the spiritual laws of the universal, in order to create a solution for everyone, everywhere, every race, every nation, every person. That's why he adopted the ideas of Mahatma Gandhi, that violence, even self-intended, always reflects back on a person. This was a man who understood that a change in consciousness always has to precede a change in our experience. All right? He knew that once a good decision is made on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level, nothing can prevent a new and greater experience from taking part in the world. And the rest, as they say, is history. Application of spiritual principles to everyday life. Now, there's a statement Shakespeare once made, very spiritual man, actually, and it was in The Life of King Henry V, if we have any English majors. Somebody already says, what was that from? I don't know. I had to look it up, okay? And the statement is, all things be ready if our minds be so. Isn't that great? All things be ready if our mind be so. Very similar to the quote from Judge Troward that I like to say so often, when the end is held firmly enough in consciousness, the means to bring it about have already been set in motion. have already been set in motion. What this means is there's nothing in the world that we cannot know or do if we're mentally and spiritually ready to do whatever needs to be done to make that thing happen. Because if we are ready, then God is ready. And both we and when both we and God are ready as one, once again, the law is set into motion. The law is set into motion. That's the key. That's the key. All we have to do is to look around us on a daily basis, and what we see in our own life and in our own world will show us how well we're using the gifts we've been given. Because if anything is showing up out there, we can be sure in one way or another that we put it there. We either created it or we attracted it, but we have the power to change it. And that, quite simply, is all this power does. It makes all things new. That's what the power does. That's what the law does, both through us and as us. And next week, we're going to finish this series with part 4 by talking about how to use this power intentionally. Intentionally. Because this is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. All right. Let's take a few moments now, take these ideas, take those that resonated with you, I give them to you freely, set aside the others for later, and let's know that living a joyful, happy, healthy, prosperous life is really not difficult. It only is difficult if we make it that way, because the one mind, the one life supports us in constructive thinking and creating. This power supports us in doing all the things that allow our life to manifest and resonate in wonderful, beautiful, and positive ways. So we recognize, not from what anyone told us, but through our own experience, that as we give love, we receive love. As we live a healthy life, we reflect in a healthy body. As we give of our abundance and our prosperity, that prosperity is returned to us, multiplied abundantly. And as we give our creative ideas, those creative ideas expand and grow through others. All of this is the way we are meant to live. That is our life's purpose. Our life's purpose is to be healthy, happy, prosperous, joyful. Not every single moment, because some of life is a learning experience. But we take those experiences with gratitude. We learn what we need to learn to do what we need to do. As we look back, we see so many people in the world who have done this, shown us this, taught us this. Not just the spiritual leaders, but the social leaders, the political leaders. So many of them who have shown us what we ourselves can do. So today we accept that. We honor the ability to choose to create. We give thanks for this awareness. And we release this awareness into consciousness, allowing it to become our everyday experience. Today we leave this place creating our own life and our own world in a better way. And tomorrow when we wake up, we do the same. Every moment we recognize that there is a way for life to be greater than it's ever been, and we are open to that way manifesting. This is our truth. We accept it. And releasing this, please join me in saying, and so it is.